This is News Team correspondent Emma Hutchins, joined in the studio by David Forbes, editor of The Asheville Blade. Welcome, David.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for sitting down with us. Today we're going to discuss the January 9th City Council meeting.
Oh, what a one it was, yeah.
And a lot happened.
Yes.
If you don't mind just diving in.
So one issue overwhelmingly set the agenda on this one, and it was probably one of the biggest single fights in the ongoing Airbnb wars, which have been a huge political issue in council for several years now. This is an issue that really hits along some serious lines of class, and even do with some of Asheville's, you know, racial segregation as well. And definitely with the ties in a lot to the housing crisis and gentrification. So Asheville is one of the biggest Airbnb destinations in the region. We have more Airbnbs. And I should note for the listeners, Airbnbs in this case describes a short-term rental, which is a term we'll also hear a lot in a sec, a rental for less than a month that is done mostly through online. They are called Airbnbs in the same way that, you know, not all Kleenex is made by Kleenex, technically, because that's overwhelmingly where this comes from. That is the company who's kind of driven this. And this has really exploded in the last few years in Asheville, which is a major tourist destination. And we not only have more Airbnbs than, like, any other city in the state, including much larger ones like Charlotte and Durham and Raleigh, we have more than those cities put together. So with this, it clearly is having a pretty big impact on the housing stock. And so the question is, of course, if homes and apartments are being rent out to tourists, what happens to the people that used to live there? And a lot of affordable housing advocates have seen this as the practice, and the explosion is kind of, you know, it's profiting landlords, people, especially people who own more than one property. But, like, it's also generally kicking out, you know, it's kicking out locals, putting more pressure on a housing market. As I heard one affordable housing advocate put it, it's like you have an already bad fire and this just dumped some gasoline on the last few years. And there's been a lot of study kind of the national level showing that profusion Airbnbs, especially ones that are entire homes and apartments, really it ups rents in an area through pressure, through taking units off the market for locals. That's been a source of a lot of pressure. It's really mounted in recent years. And then you have a lot of very ardent and property owners who are like, look, hotels are making money off the tourism boom. Why shouldn't I be able to make money off the tourism boom, you know? Or I can do it on my property regardless of, you know, the consequences of it. And so these two sides have kind of gone back and forth over the years. But in this meeting, it kind of came to fruition that, you know, for a lot of reasons we can go into in a sec, council wanted to vote on a ban, basically. And it's noted this is for whole home and apartment Airbnbs. It's not for someone renting out a guest room, which the city has is legal under certain circumstances. It is for whole home, whole apartment. And these are already illegal in most of the city, but given some recent pressure and, like, political changes, at this meeting, city council took up the issue of, okay, let's just make them illegal throughout the entire city, or any future ones illegal throughout the entire city.
I think it's also worth noting that this was the first meeting with the new council, correct?
Yes. Well, no, it's not the first meeting. There was a small one in December. It's the first meeting of this year, and it's the first major meeting. This is really the first time we've seen this new council, which has some very changed dynamics from the previous one, and comes after, you know, the election with the highest turnout and local turnout in Asheville's history. This is the first big contentious vote they've really had to take.
Okay. What was the outcome?
So it passed 6-1. And this was not entirely a surprise. For anyone who's interested, there was an article The Blade did last year called Razor's Edge that analyzed the way the city primary, which also had a really high turnout, broke down. And during the last election, candidates that were very kind of pro the Airbnb lobby, that were, you know, kind of cozy with these property owners in this industry or said good things about in the past, didn't really do well. Probably their biggest advocate on council, who is former councilmember Cecil Botho, didn't make it out of the primary, which is very unusual for an incumbent. And I think you've seen a lot more pressure among renters. You've seen more renters, which are over half the city, definitely becoming a lot more involved in city politics. And you saw that here, like you've seen that some of the commission meetings where this policy got pushed forward late last year before it made it to council. And the council meeting, you saw some renters coming up and saying, look, you know, one, Mario Gori, who's a local artist and worker, was just like, look, I had to move 5 times in the past year. I lived at 5 different places. And she said, you know, 3 of those moves were tied to the Airbnb industry. She was straight up kicked out of her home to make room for a whole home apartment Airbnb. And the other one, she got to be kind of a live-in housekeeper for an Airbnb. She got to be there 2 nights a week and had to sleep somewhere else the rest of the time. And then she said the place she was at now, wouldn't become an Airbnb, but only because the place was in such disrepair that it wouldn't be attractive. And that story and some other similar ones, both online and in the council chambers, really kind of seem to resonate. You're seeing with a wider voting base, you're seeing more renters kind of get out and vote. So I think that pressure is being felt. Another thing that kind of made an impact on council were reports that came from the city staff themselves, who had not really had a good grasp on how much of the housing supply this was affecting. But they had shown that in the last few years, in the places where renting out whole home apartment Airbnbs are still legal, which is not in most of the city, but it was in some very key places like downtown, that they were really seeing a massive increase. And they were even seeing some developments that originally been pitched as housing or condos. The developers are coming back and saying, no, we want to turn these into Airbnbs. So council was, most of council, I should say, were pretty aggrieved by that. And this is kind of an interesting area where kind of more centrist council members and more left-leaning council members kind of hit some common ground. For the more left-leaning members, this is has a threat to further segregate the city kind of along racial and class lines, to really hurt working Asheville-ians, make an affordable housing crisis worse. And for some of the more kind of centrist ones, this was kind of an intrusion of basically hotels into areas where people live, including even mixed places like downtown. It should be noted that the city does allow people to rent out a room in a home they're living in, a room or two, actually, if they get a permit for it. That's something called homestay. And while there is some confusion from some of the kind of pro-Airbnb side, that has not been affected by this. That is still totally legal if someone gets the permits. Now, if they're enforced, people are using that as a loophole to rent whole home apartments out anyway. That's a big question. But it was kind of a question council saved for another day. So in the end, with kind of some very centrist council members and some more left-leaning council members, or ones who are at least sympathetic to that view, that's kind of where they came down on. You did see a fair amount of Airbnb owners show up and say, look, downtown's just meant for tourists and the wealthy now. I kind of want my cut of that, basically, was one rationale that was heard. That really kind of didn't sit well with a lot of kind of the affordable housing advocates for obvious reasons. Others said, this was a way for them to be empowered to, if they had multiple properties, they could get more money this way. Another said that they were worried about the effect this would have on tourist experience in Asheville, but didn't really seem to get much traction with those criticisms. Most council members came down pretty decisively saying, look, we really need to rein this in. We need to, kind of stop it from advancing any further. And they'd taken similar steps even under the previous council, which extended the prohibition on whole home apartment Airbnbs to Haywood Road and through Arts District, where they had previously been allowed. But those votes were a lot closer than this one was. This one was 6-1. Like, clearly council has turned, this new council is not particularly pro-Airbnb. They're a lot more skeptical, even the previous one was. And we've seen the vote tallies go for reigning in the Airbnb industry go in the last year from 4-3 to 5-2 and now to 6-1.
Was there some explanation around the vote against?
Yeah, so the vote against was council member Keith Young, who at this point is kind of, I guess, the remaining real advocate for kind of the Airbnb industry. Councilor Brian Haynes, who also had indicated some sympathy with allowing, kind of some looser rules on Airbnbs in the past, has really kind of shifted his perspective. And he's been very much against kind of the whole home apartment Airbnbs, which are probably overall the biggest commodity. That's what tourists can have the most draw to. And while you occasionally have locals, you're renting out a room, making a little extra income, for people who have multiple properties, can hire management cleaning companies, that's really where the big money is in this industry. And that's really where a lot of the expansion has come from. And so he has said a few times that like that really concerns him. And so with that, Councilmember Young is basically the only main vote left. And he's taken notably gone more in this line in recent months, where he's taken more of kind of a Airbnb-friendly approach. He said he doesn't think it has a huge effect on the affordable housing crisis, a pretty common Airbnb lobbying talking point. That doesn't seem backed up by much research, which shows generally that this does have, at a city where this it's at a much share of the market, it does have a pretty considerable impact. And his justification, and he admitted, he said, this is going to be kind of all over the map. He said that he wanted, them to discuss possibly allowing Airbnbs in garage and basement apartments, and since this didn't discuss that, he didn't want to vote for it. He said, is this just a prelude to banning all Airbnbs? But he didn't really follow much more with that. He said that, he felt this being moved forward too quickly. Some council members who were for it responded, look, this is, we've recently found out like how big this is growing. We really think we need to rein it in very quickly. But he ended up casting his vote against, and it was kind of this scattershot rationale that he gave. But I think it is pretty clear that he is, you know, he remains pretty solidly in favor of friendlier policies towards this industry, while the other council members either were or are now much more harshly against it for some of the reasons we mentioned.
And I'm curious to see how this will continue to come up with council in this coming year.
It definitely will. And as a matter of fact, right now, though this is written slightly before the vote, we have an article up on the Blade called it's a primer on the Airbnb wars, which this is a good like summary of the history, why this is a big deal, what the different sides on are, how council's thinking has shifted. So if your listeners want kind of a resource to kind of get a rundown of why this issue is such a big deal and how, you know, what the politics on are, take a look at that. But definitely we are going to see probably a big fight over accessory dwelling units, which is the technical planning term for kind of basement garage apartments. Airbnb advocates say, look, there's no reason those shouldn't be allowed. They're very similar to renting out a guest room, but people live in those too. And that's kind of what the other side says is, look, there are hundreds of these and they're clustered right in the neighborhoods like North and West Asheville, where like the Airbnb industry has already taken up a lot of homes. Enforcement remains a major issue. I mean, there are people who've been kicked out of their homes in areas where Airbnb was already illegal. Whole home Airbnbs have always been illegal in most city residential neighborhoods. But there were a lot of them, and people got basically evicted because of them or forced to leave their apartments because of them, even though it legally wasn't something the property owner could do. The city's been forcing that a lot more harshly in recent years. There's some questions about if there's more they could do. How do you really rein this industry in fully? Are some people who have homestay permits, which often around a room or two, really kind of using that as a cover for renting out the whole home, which would be very illegal as well. So I think now that kind of the advocates of reigning in this industry have won a very major victory and kind of the political sense is in their favor, talking to some of them and hearing kind of what they have to say, you're going to see them kind of push harder. I think from the other side, you're going to see kind of the Airbnb lobby and the kind of gentry and property owners that really profit from this industry, who are its base of support here, I think they're really going to turn their attention to kind of crafting the homestay rules. And actually, Airbnb itself, the company, has tried to lobby in places where it knows that it can't, you know, expand the allowance straight out and allow more Airbnbs. It's really tried to lobby for things like homestay rules to be a lot more loosely enforced and allow a lot more kind of exceptions in them. I could see attention turning there. And they're also going to push pretty hard, I think, on the accessory dwelling units. So basement, garage, mother-in-law suites, as they're called in a very outdated term, like those are really going to be like where the next front is. This issue's not gone anywhere. We're a popular tourist destination with a housing crisis and some pretty well-off people looking to make money off that crisis. And a population of renters is feeling more desperate and kind of squeezed. And that's the recipe for political conflict until this is pretty decisively settled one way or the other.
And it will also be interesting to see if different parts of town moving forward will be regulated differently, mm-hmm. or if this particular council will choose to regulate homestays and mm-hmm. Airbnbs consistently across the entire city.
And initially, that's kind of what they've been moving towards. As a matter of fact, the reason that this kind of ban came into effect was because they were taking it up on, you know, Haywood Road and then in the Rad and, you know, in this area and that area. And so I think downtown was the major area left where these were legal. And to note, also, there's a big question about what happens to the existing ones. Since they're legal, it is very complicated to have them not be a thing anymore. But nonetheless, they have to get and keep up a permit. And if they didn't officially notify the city, they're not legal. And that none of them can do it for going forward. So I think you're going to see some question about ways the city could pressure these existing ones to kind of not be Airbnbs anymore. Is an interesting question. I think so far council's leaning in, you know, restrictions across the board, basically. As of now, you know, the same ban on whole home apartment Airbnbs applies in Montford, applies in downtown, applies in the Rad, applies in West Asheville, East Asheville. So I think you are seeing this council go, while they are definitely going towards the restriction side, I think they're doing that across the board, like it or not.
So aside from this big decision around Airbnbs and homestays and short-term rentals, what else of note came up in the meeting?
So that was kind of the big item at the meeting. There was some other hearings got delayed. There was the ever-popular audit of the city finances, which didn't, you know, this is like the super – and this is a super technical thing. This isn't the budget update, which generates a little more interest for, you know, listeners, readers, citizens. locals, because it can be like, hey, we're making way more money in this department, making way less in this department. This is more like, you know, is your bookkeeping in order? For which, for a massive bureaucracy like the city of Asheville, is super technical. So there wasn't really a huge amount there. But the, one of the other items that's super important was the city is starting to study how to use 15 million of its bond, affordable housing bond funding, to try to use city-owned properties. And importantly, most of these city-owned properties are in or near, I'd say all of them so far they're looking at, are in or near primarily African-American neighborhoods. And the fact they are city properties is often tied to the history of redlining and urban renewal, which should only be put in quote marks because it's a it was the demolition of many African-American homes and businesses and people being rampantly displaced and discriminated against. And it's generally considered a devastation, and it certainly was very devastating in Asheville. So that's going to open up a lot of questions about how does Asheville address redlining, which is particularly severe here. You know, this de facto segregation that still remains from that. And considering that a lot of these are in ground zero, you know, neighborhoods like East End, like Southside, that were kind of ground zero for that process, I think you're definitely going to see some real pressure and back and forth. The city has not had a great track record, as regarded by a lot of critics and a lot of advocates of civil rights advocates locally, of really trying to seriously deal with redlining and trying to deal seriously with de facto segregation. But you've seen some moves in that front recently with the city that they're at least attempting or saying they're attempting to try to deal with this. But I expect a lot more debate. I'd expect some community criticism over how those play out. Whose hands does this housing end up in? You know, who does it actually help desegregate these areas or just kind of reinforce what's going on? Is it actually going to be affordable? There's a big debate over how affordable is what the city qualifies affordable housing. So, yeah, this is one of those things where this is kind of a little, you know, a foreshadowing of what was to come, because I expect in the coming years that is going to be a huge debate over how housing on those properties turns out.
Interesting. And are the properties being looked at only for housing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there might be some mixed use, you know. And pretty similar to what the city's done in some other stuff. You know, there's some of the stuff that they've backed with affordable housing loans and things like that. And to the River District have like a business or a community space on some levels, but then most of it is affordable housing. I think that's the model that they're kind of looking to go for here, especially for the parts that are like in the East End and areas where it's, you know, it's near down, it's in or near downtown. It's a denser kind of development. But the swath they're talking about is pretty big, for example. And it kind of reminds people, and it dang well should, for how extensive the devastation of those communities was. And there's a older Blade article from our first year in publication called Red Lines, I would encourage people to read, that talks about a lot of this history and how it really still shapes the city and what remains a very, very segregated city.
Well, David, if people would like to learn more about the issues we discussed today, where can they look?
AshevilleBlade.com.
Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.